Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. So much for tuning in today. So glad to have you along. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. In fact, it's hour two of Live the Promise. And if you missed first hour, Pastor Sam Crabtree joined me in studio to talk about how to affirm others in a God-centered way. And you can find that full podcast up on our website in just a little bit at myfaithradio.com. Well, now we're going to switch gears and talk about God's faithfulness in the valley of the shadow. And just praying with these precious guests that I have on second hour before the show, just really had such a sense. And you've heard this if you've listened to the show often enough, that I just have a strong sense that I cannot shake, that difficult times are ahead for us as Americans. And we need to know how to stand on God's truth, even when it doesn't feel true. And with all my heart, I believe God's going to raise up people like Gerard and Jeannie Long, who've already walked through the valley of the shadow in unimaginable ways, but found God's promises to be true when they don't feel true. They are joining me today to talk about a new ministry they're launching, to give some backstory to what brought them to this place. And I just pray God's abundant grace on them as they really make themselves available for us so we can know, especially if you're listening today and you are left breathless. Maybe you've just endured something that's just taken your breath away. God is with you. He's for you, and he will get you through the valley of the shadow. So let me not waste another moment. Let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get them on the show. Gerard and Jeannie Long, up until 2014, they led Alpha USA full-time to help more people meet Jesus Christ. The organization operates more than in 160 countries. Now leading Awakening to God Ministries, Gerard's books include The Breakthrough and Awakening to God. You can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Gerard and Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie. Yeah, it's good to be with you today.
Hi, Susie. Thank you for having us.
So good to meet you, Jeannie. And we've known Gerard. He's been on the show a handful of times, and we feel like we know you because of the way he's honored you and shared parts of your story. So great to meet you both. Wondering if you have a verse that God's either been speaking to you about these days or one that you just, as a life verse, you carry with you. Jeannie, if it's okay, I'll start with you.
Oh, gosh. There are so many life verses, but I think when we first got married, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And that is where it all started for me.
Jeannie, can you say a little bit more about that verse and what it means to you?
Well, when Gerard and I first got married, we literally took that verse as it was, and we all the little riches we had, we literally got rid of everything when we started afresh in our marriage, and we were privileged to be starting a new church in London where Gerard was a joint pastor with others, and we did it that way round. We sought God's kingdom first, and everything else followed after that.
Wow.
And Gerard, Jesus in London.
Beautiful. Gerard, how about you? Is there a verse for you that's been that you've been pondering these days?
Well, probably one of my favorite life verses is Proverbs 4:23, which is, above everything else, my son, keep your heart, because out of it flows the wellspring of life. And when you boil it all down, where we're called into this love relationship with Jesus Christ, and his promise is that he will lead us and guide us and bring us into his perfect plan and purposes for our lives, and our job is to keep our hearts in love with him and not allow any weeds to grow, anything that will get into our hearts to spoil this relationship. And ultimately what that can do is to cause us to go off track, to move away from Jesus, to go our own way instead of going his way. And so that's the thing I try and keep. It's keep in love with Jesus with everything I've got, and whatever may come into our lives, things that we don't like, but just to make sure that we keep trusting him, because that's the basis of relationship is trust, and keep him as the focus of everything I do and say and think.
Wow, keeping with that whole analogy of weeds, I'm thinking of the parable of the sower and the seeds and the things that do get in the way of our intimate love relationship with the Lord, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, but even hardship. I mean, hardship can either thrust us into a place of absolute revival of faith or offense with God. And I'm wondering, for that person listening today, either one of you can speak to this, if they're tempted to be deeply offended by God because life hasn't turned out the way they thought, what would be some advice you have for them?
Well, you know, it's our faith is tested when things don't go to plan. We've been through unbelievable sorrow and suffering over 10 years now. And what you have to ask yourself the question is God really in control? Do you really believe Scripture? And are you going to hold on to those Scriptures? Or are you going to let your circumstance speak to you and stop trusting God and stop putting him first in your life? I mean, you know, those are the choices that you need to make. And so we would encourage people to come back to Scripture and the promises of God, that you can stand on those in the midst of whatever you're going through. And we define suffering as being anything in your life that you don't want. Hmm. And that could be anything from loss of health to loss of finance, loss of relationship, loss of a loved one. All sorts of things can come into our lives that we don't want. Or it might be things that we want in our lives that we don't have. For example, there may be a couple listening who so want to have a child and they haven't been able to have a child to date. Either way, it's suffering. And so in that place, really we have a choice. Are we going to keep trusting God? Or do we, as you said, you use the word offense, or do we take offense at what's happened in our lives and turn away from God? And that's where our hearts really are sifted. And God is working to see, are you going to trust me? And sometimes he allows things into our lives to do just that, to see where our love really lies.
Mm. And for those who haven't heard our past conversations, in a little bit, Gerard will get into some of the story and the things you've walked through that have really even prepared you for the launch of this new ministry, Awakening to God Ministries. But if it's okay with you, I'd like even to back up a little more. And Jeannie, if it's okay with you, tell us your faith story, how you came to Christ.
Oh, wow. I was born in England, and I think the majority of us think we are Christians because we're Church of England. And I thought I was a Christian. Moving along, you know, I was just a good girl, just was kind, but God was sort of only for Christmas time or Easter time, the typical. But the beautiful thing that the Lord did in my life was one beautiful summer, I met Gerard, and the strange thing is, at the time, he was away from the Lord, and I'm just thinking, I'm a Christian, but not really communicating with God other than at Christmas or crying out for a prayer for, you know, if somebody was sick, something like this. So, it's over so many years, but what happened was Gerard invited me to his church, and finally I said yes. And the pastor spoke, everything made sense. It was what I had been searching for my whole life. And I gave my heart to Jesus. And as a stake in the ground, if you like, being a ballerina, I went into the countryside and leapt across the fields like a gazelle, just praising and thanking Jesus for this, that I saw that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and that I was a sinner. And then that was a whole learning process, that was a beautiful day in my life when I accepted Jesus, that I saw that there was a relationship that was had been missing.
What a beautiful story, Jeannie. Thank you for sharing that. And if you want to hear more of Gerard's backstory, you can go catch the podcast from before. But, you know, pick it up in your early years of marriage and how the Christian faith, Gerard, just was for you, what life was like for you. Just give us a little context here.
Well, I'd had an encounter with God in my last year at college, and from there on, it was all about wanting to please Jesus and do his will. So I felt led to carry on. I was doing a banking and finance degree, so I went into the city of London. And as Jeannie said, it was Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will follow. And so we lived by that, and rather than chasing career, nothing wrong with career, don't get me wrong, but I said to the Lord, Lord, I believe you want me to be here first for your kingdom. And so I started praying with some friends in the city, and we started to see God move very powerfully there. And we saw a mini revival actually in the early 90s happening as we sought first his kingdom. And then also in our home church in North London, I was joint leading a house church there, and we saw many people coming to the Lord, people being sent out all over the world as missionaries. And then, of course, at home, we had a very sweet, normal life, in love with Jeannie, had a wonderful marriage, three beautiful children, and Jesus was in the center. It was a very, very special and beautiful time.
Wow. We need to take a short break right now. I'm talking to Gerard and Jeannie Long of Awakening to God Ministries. I think we might have a couple copies of Gerard's book, Awakening to God. In fact, I'm almost positive. So I'm going to not take calls, but I'm going to take emails today. Email me if you'd like to get a copy of Awakening to God. And chime in with your question, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to hear Gerard and Jeannie's story about their walk through the Valley of the Shadow, what that was like, what felt true, and how God met them there. Don't go away. More with Gerard and Jeannie Long of Awakening to God Ministries in a moment. Maybe you're in the valley of the shadow and you need perspective. That's a prayer to pray. Lord Jesus, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to our friends Gerard and Jeannie Long. I love these people. Gerard's got an amazing book titled Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. He's the former executive director of Alpha USA. And before the break, we're kind of getting some context of them getting married, engaging in kingdom work and working in the marketplace, having three beautiful kids, and really just enjoying your faith journey. Gerard, if you don't mind, take it from there, because you moved to Chicago to step in a leadership role for Alpha. Would you mind take us to that place and the tragic events that unfolded in your family from there?
Sure, Susie, yeah. Well, we actually went to New York first. I was with HSBC, one of the biggest banks in the world, and then they asked me to move to Chicago to do an integration with household finance, and so that's what we moved there. And I remember in 2004 saying to Jeannie, does it get any better than this? And in love with Jesus, seeing God move in amazing ways, in love with Jeannie, had three amazing children, living in this incredible home in a wonderful church. Does it get any better? It was a wonderful time, but it was shortly after that. Actually, I felt God prepare us, because I felt him say very clearly, Gerald, you're going to go through a period of intense brokenness, but through it, I'm going to glorify my name. And sure enough, shortly after that, just about every area of our lives, things started to go not to plan, the things you wouldn't want to happen. And so one thing after another, it got deeper and deeper in 2005. And we got to the bottom of the valley in November of 2005, when our precious youngest son, Alex, he was 17 years old, he took a drug with a boy at school and became delusional and very confused. And long story short, he ended up on the 8th of November 2005 going out and committing suicide. And it was a nightmare. They say there's two of the worst things that can happen to a human being is torture in a concentration camp or the suicide of a child. And so it was words really can't describe the absolute pain and agony of that time. And Jeannie went, well, we both went into shock and horror and absolute pain. We grieved differently. Jeannie, I ran into God. Jeannie couldn't reconcile it, ran away from God in that period. But in it and through it, we learned some very, very deep things of God. Mm-hmm. I ended up actually being asked to lead Alpha shortly after that. One of the things I saw was eternity that really helped me through. And of course, when you see eternity, your one concern, I always had a heart for the lost, but now I'm desperate for lost people because I know the end of the story. And so I don't think I could see God's hand in me being asked to lead this organization in America, which is all about saving souls for eternity. And sure enough, we saw hundreds of thousands of people come to Christ in the time that I was there. And it's still doing a wonderful work. Mm. So that's where I ended up moving from banking into Alpha. And that was the period of utter pain. There's lots to the story, but that was a sort of a summary of that those early days of utter brokenness, the start of, if you like, what we call the Valley of Baca, which is the Valley of Weeping.
Gerard, if I remember right, the context of this is your son was this athletic, you know, solid Christian family kid, but you guys had moved to Chicago. He'd met somebody. It was like wrong place, wrong time, this weird drug that gave him a delusion. And a Wiccan person who'd said that they'd put a curse on him. Is that right? So
yes.
It was just like hell unleashed its fury on your son. Isn't that what kind of what happened?
Yes, it was. Absolutely right. Yeah, it was one thing after another and utter darkness and attack. And we were under absolute attack from Satan. And, you know, you have to ask the question. You go very deep into God in those times because there's scriptures that speak of He put his angels over us, guard you from evil, and yet clearly evil had attacked us, and so that was one of the things I had to wrestle with God. I should get in the early hours of the morning, weeping until I had no more tears left to cry. And you know, when we go through hard times, it's okay to ask God why. You see that in the Psalms, and 50% of the Psalms are laments. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? What is going on? And I wrestled with God over this, and you know, you come to three key questions. Either Scripture's not true, and I didn't believe that. I was holding on to Scripture. I didn't believe that one. Number two, that Satan's more powerful than Scripture says. In other words, he can usurp God's word, and I didn't believe that either. That's not true. Or, here's the third option, here's my conclusion, is that God's working something for his eternal purpose through this. And that does tie up with Scripture, because you see that through Job, you see that through Joseph, where Joseph says to his brothers, Genesis 50:20, you intended this for evil, but God intended it for good, for the saving of many lives. We see that with Peter, with Paul. And ultimately, of course, it's the cross. The cross is the most evil thing you can imagine ever happening on earth, and yet it's also the most loving thing because God's rescuing people through the whole world through it. And so I began to see that God was working something for his eternal glory and his purpose. Even though we didn't like it, it was the most painful thing you can imagine. We saw that God was working something of eternal for his eternal glory through it. And we knew that we know Alex is in heaven. He made a terrible mistake, but he had received Jesus as his Savior, and we know that he's in heaven. We're going to see him again. But for now, we miss him desperately. And again, it's not a cup that we would want. It's a painful, bitter cup. And yet we're saying, Lord, we surrendered our lives to you, and by your grace we want to journey through this and pass on the messages, the deep things that you've shown us of eternity and other things of you through this. And that, of course, ties in with what the Awakening to God ministry is all about.
Well, we only have about 4 minutes to break, Jeannie, so I want to make sure when you share that I'm not cutting you off. But just a short thought here. When you heard the news of Alex's death, were you alone? Did you have friends with you? Were you with Gerard? What was that moment like for you?
We were all together. I had found the note late that evening and had called the police. And we were all together, Gerard, Rebecca, and myself. and they were looking for Alex, and I was, the police were of the mind that he had just gone for a walk, even though there was a note that, you know, anyway, we were all together, and the knock came in the darkness, and when I heard the words that they found Alex, and that they had found him and he was dead, I went into shock and to darkness, and I looked at Gerard, who was on the floor howling. I looked at my daughter, who went white. It was a moment that I don't think anybody should ever have to live through. It was so, I think the psalm describes it the best, because I can't really share the depth of agony, but the psalm that says, although the cords of death entangled me and the anguish of the grave came upon me and I was overwhelmed with sorrow and suffering, I became overwhelmed and in shock when I heard the news. And it followed on to many seasons of darkness. I, although you don't know at the time, but I ran away from God. And that was the difference of our grieving. Gerard ran into God. And I found it easier not to believe, because the God that I had loved and worshipped all these years, I couldn't find anymore. Seems so distant that he could allow this evil to come into our home. I just could not reconcile this. I just could not. So it seemed more freeing to believe that for a season, God, I lost my faith.
Jeannie, I just want to say, you know, there's something about a mother's heart that is so unique, and I can't even imagine what that would have been like for you, and I can't imagine doing anything different than what you did. And what is so amazing is that God never let go of you, and he knew your mama's heart was breaking, and Gerard did stand in the gap and interceded for both of you, and God never let go. We need to take a short break here. I can't thank you and honor you enough for going to that place for us, and pray God would continue to shore you up. When we come back, we're going to talk more of this amazing story and God's redemptive purposes in and through it, and how God is using Gerard and Jeannie Long for kingdom's sake, for lost souls. He cares about us deeply. He's with us, even in the valley of the shadow. Don't go away. More with the Longs in a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a gripping conversation with Gerard and Jeannie Long. I just love these people. Gerard's written a couple of books, but this is one we're kind of drawing from today, is Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. And prior to the break, they're just sharing about the devastating loss of their son, just a demonic attack on that precious boy's life. He's with Jesus, but in the days that followed, and we don't need to belabor this point because Gerard and I really visited that last time Gerard was on, of what it was like, but just to give context for how this ministry, Awakening to God Ministries, was born. Gerard, just because I don't want to ask your dear wife to have to wrestle through the unpacking that story, she shared before the break that in the utter grief of that moment of the loss of your son and how it even happened, that you ran towards God, and just her mama's heart, she ran away because she couldn't reconcile that God would let such an evil visit. And you referenced the verse even about God protecting us. And how do we do that, you know, as a mom's heart to go, but you didn't protect us? I want you just to talk about what the days that followed were like as Jeannie is trying to sort through her mama's grief and her daughter's heart for her father, who it looked like he looked away in this moment.
Well, it was a nightmare, really. I mean, it's all you can explain. And I know I'd wake up in the night and Jeannie would be crying out in her sleep, and she was trying to get away from the pain, trying to rewind. Do I wake her up out of her subconscious nightmare into her conscious nightmare? You know, it was. She said for 4 months after that, I wish I'd never been born, and ended up actually her body couldn't take it. She had internal her intestines knotted twice. She had to have life-saving surgery. So it was a really, I mean, learning about the cross, really, you know, all of this, we realize that we're learning more of what Jesus did for us to rescue us. And so I used to go in the early hours of the morning. I used to get up about 1 or 2 and just go downstairs and cry, really. I mean, I used to weep. I used to go, Hebrews 4 verse 16 says this, it says that we go boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And really, grace, I define grace as Jesus. You know, he's everything we need. He came to this earth to go through the things that we go through. He was a man of acquainted with grief, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what it's like on this earth, this broken world in which we live. And his promise is that the Holy Spirit will give us of his life, was a life that overcame the brokenness of this world. And he will equip us to go through and journey through whatever he asks us to go through for him. And so as I went to that throne of grace, the presence of God in my study was unbelievable. So, so close. He said he's close to the brokenhearted. And he took my brokenness and my weeping and gave me his love. And so I was able to journey through this, to love Jeannie when she quite honestly became unlovely because she was in unbelief. And the horrible thing with suicide is blame. It was a very painful time, but he gave me his unfailing love. It's a love that never fails, and that came through the throne of grace. And just one thing I'd love people to hear on this call today is that whatever you're going through, you might be at your wit's end. We know what that's like. We've been there many times, but there is a place you can go to. It's called the throne of grace, and you can offload there. You can cry out to God. You can say why. You can get angry. Just offload. Just talk to him. And then let the Holy Spirit come and quicken his word to you and give you hope and a future. And that's what I learned through all of this, is that, hey, God's there for us. I remember it was one night in particular, or the early hours of the morning in particular, I was weeping and weeping, and I felt an arm around me. And there was no one in the room, and I realized it was Jesus. And what he was doing, he was weeping with me.
Mm.
And so one of the things we've learned through this, is that God breaks with our brokenness. You know, we think he's dead. No, he's not. He feels the pain in this world. It's not what he wanted. Genesis 1, he wants a world where there's no death or mourning or crying or pain. That's one end of the book. And the other end is where we're going. There's no death or mourning or crying or pain. We're in this intermediate phase where God is looking for a people who will put him first and love him with everything they've got. Whatever may come, Lord, I want to trust you and allow you to use these lives for your glory. Speak through us of your love to a broken world. And boy, is there brokenness all around us. And so one of the things we've seen through this is that God is building things into our lives, messages into our lives that we are now sharing with other people, messages of eternity, message of the triumph of marriage, message of love and suffering, how God works through suffering for his glory. Messages of reconciliation, of broken relationship. So many things God's shown us. And we want the comfort we've received, we want to now comfort other people through this.
And you're so equipped to do just that. I remember part of your story when Jeannie was being wheeled in for that life-saving surgery. She grabbed your arm and said, I want to live. And she found faith and found hope, and God met her. And you guys walked through another tragedy. Again, if you want to hear about that, listen to my other interview with Gerard. Because again, I just don't want to ask them to go through too much of this in today's show, because we're really celebrating the launch of this ministry, Awakening to God Ministries. But just in a nutshell, as Jeannie got through that surgery and you guys got your legs under you again, Gerard, you lost your beautiful daughter who was in the ministry with you. Could you just say a word about that and what God, how he met you? And remember you saying even how Jeannie went into her bedroom and just sat there and basically, I'm not leaving till you meet me here. Just give us sort of a synopsis of that, and we'll unpack what God's doing now.
Yes, well, after Alex passed, we went through a season. It went on and on because two of my three siblings passed at the same time. Jeannie's nephew was run over in New Zealand in a terrible car accident. We grief upon grief upon grief upon grief. And then last year, Rebecca, who had been brokenhearted when Alex passed, she joined me in Alpha. She was a brilliant, brilliant, beautiful girl, but not only on the outside but on the inside, the sweetest of heart she had, and she wanted to help young people and not so that they wouldn't go through what Alex went through. So she came, and she actually ended up leading Alpha Youth in the United States and seeing many, many, many young people come to know Jesus. We were both ministering down in San Diego last year, end of April. I had to go to London to a conference with Jeannie. She stayed on down in Southern California. She was 32 years old. And she was speaking at conferences, and more she was doing that. Beautiful girl. She came back to Chicago. The day after she came back, she went out for a run early morning. It was an unusually hot day, 80 degrees. She got overheated. She went down to Lake Michigan to try and cool off, took off her shoes and socks and shoes. And we knew she had blood sugar issues, and we believed that she actually fainted. And she fell into the lake and possibly hit her head, we're not sure, but she couldn't get out where she was. And she tried to swim around to this ramp where the boats go in and out so she could get out. But the water was 37 degrees, and she was overcome with hypothermia, and she died. And so, once again, on top of all the grief, now our most beautiful daughter, who had been instrumental in helping Jeannie to come through her terrible darkness, now she has gone too. And just such grief. And I think, if Jeannie's up for it, but you can imagine, we were thinking, how is Jeannie going to cope? And can you say, darling, what happened in that room?
Oh, gosh. I had travailed, and the Lord slowly built my faith back up over the years of love from my unconditional love from Gerard, my husband, and from the saints praying into my life. I was beginning to see these glimmers, as I would call them, and to even have the scripture, he had turned my mourning into dancing, when Rebecca had shown me a picture of the three of us dancing at a wedding, only for a few months later for the Lord to call her home. I could feel the darkness coming on worse than anything I could have imagined from before. And I crept up to my bedroom and I said to the Lord, I'm not coming out of here. And God in his mercy, God in his mercy filled that room with his presence and his light. And he revealed to me things that have kept me living to this day, which is too much to go into now. But Gerard believed it was an encounter. I don't know the word, a vision. But it is only because of that I can live. So God, in his mercy to me, has revealed him in a way supernaturally.
Jeannie, when you think of, thank you, by the way, and thank you for that, for just sharing and giving us a glimpse into that place. And we need to take a break in about a couple minutes. But I'm wondering, Jeannie, as you minister to those who are so deeply hurting, how do you minister differently now after what you've walked through? How do you see people and their suffering now differently than you used to?
Well, I've always loved and ministered before my children went home. And one of my gifts, I believe, was a gentle spirit and loving people. But now, whenever Gerard and I will minister or love somebody, I think straight to the cross. It's all about the cross. I minister about Jesus and what he did on the cross. It's such a deep, deep thing of how God shows me to minister. The unconditional love that Jesus gave to us. And I sort of talk people through. It's all about the cross. It's all about the cross.
You know, we're in such a day where the gospel's gotten so watered down, the cross has been sort of a side note. And that's devastating when you think of that it is all about the cross, and it's the power of the cross that allows us to breathe and to stand and to persevere. And wow, and I'm just, if you want Gerard and Jeannie Long to come speak, to come minister, we'll give some information on the other side. We're going to talk about the ministry that was born out of the ashes of such unimaginable suffering. But God is on his throne, and he loves these people, and he intends to use them greatly. And I pray you're just really sensing God's presence, as I am in this moment. Don't go away. More with Gerard and Jeannie Long in a moment. You are worthy. Boy, thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Gerard and Jeannie Long of Awakening to God Ministries. Their story is just amazing, unbelievable. One of the things, Jeannie, you'd written on your website or your newsletter, you said, talking about the loss you feel and that you can't wait to see your kids, Rebecca and Alex, again, waiting in heaven for you. And you said, yet I will rejoice at casting crowns before my Lord through a broken heart. Because if God can use my broken heart for his glory, then I have to trust he is the author of my life. And Gerard, I want you, just as I want to give Jeannie a little moment to breathe, and she's just really been so brave to come on and share out of that broken place, I want you to talk about this Awakening to God Ministries. What's your vision? What's your goal? And even how people can connect with you if they want to hear you speak and want to connect with your ministry.
Thanks, Susie. Yeah, well, the mission of the ministry is to proclaim Jesus Christ. When you boil it all down, it's all from him and through him and to him are all things. And so we're proclaiming, and there's four specific areas that we want to give people a bigger vision of God and his glory. Firstly is the whole story of the cross, as we were saying earlier on. And that is that Jesus came in a rescue mission. He came to rescue us. I love the angels to the shepherds. A Savior has come, Jesus. He came to save us, to rescue us from this broken world, bring us back from sin and death into relationship with the Father through what he did on the cross for us. And so it's just explaining how that works in our lives. Things that we might think are the worst things that ever happened, God is able to turn those around for his glory. And so how does he do that? How does he use that brokenness for his glory? So that maybe Jesus said, I've come for the brokenhearted, I've come for the captives. Those are people who've had things happen to their in their lives through no fault of their own. Maybe they're abused as children, or they've lost their business or whatever. Or maybe they're prisoners, they're bad decisions, they've become into darkness and they're locked up. Either way, Jesus wants to come and rescue you and bring you back into relationship with the Father and turn your life into something beautiful for him. So we call that living diamonds, because that's God's working in us for his glory. The second area is about the bride of Christ, because when you boil it all down, this is about a love relationship. God created us for love, for a relationship with him deep in our hearts. And it's when we're head over heels in love with someone, all we live for is to please that person. Whatever that might cost, we will say, Lord, I want to please you. And if this is what you ask me to do, because I love you and I want to please you, I will do this for you. And that's the love that we learn about in Romans 5:5, the Holy Spirit pours into our heart. And it's the love that compels the disciples, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, to lay their lives down. It's that love from Jesus. So to be head over heels in love with Jesus, we're the bride, he's the bridegroom, he's coming back. I don't think he's going to come back for a bride who's indifferent to him. Mm. No, he's coming back for a bride who's longing for him. And so it's an awakening to that love relationship with Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it's the whole vision of eternity. When you see eternity, you don't live for anything down here. In 1 Peter 4:1-2, it says those who are suffering in their bodies are done with sin. They don't live the rest of their lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. C.S. Lewis said our lives is a cover page of a never-ending story. And Scripture says again and again, it talks about treasures in heaven. Jesus spoke about building up treasures in heaven. It talks about the age to come. Over 100 times in the New Testament, it talks about rewards for eternity, the things that are stored up for us in heaven. And when you see that, you don't live, or you shouldn't live for anything down here to build treasure up here. No, you live for the will of your Father, which is how Jesus lived on earth. And so getting that vision of eternity sets you free from the worries and anxieties of this life, sets you free from desiring, trying building up wealth or desiring other things. No, all you desire is to please Jesus. That's what the vision of eternity says. And then the fourth area, when you boil it all down, you ask the question, why am I still on earth? Jeannie and I say that. We can't wait to go to heaven. More of my direct family are in heaven now than they are on earth. Mm-hmm. And then I read John 14 and 17. He says that where I am, that you may be also. He wants us with him. I want to be with him. So why are we here? Well, the answer is because we've got a work to do. And that work is to carry on this rescue mission that Jesus has placed into our hands as his followers, his ambassadors, to bring this reconciliation between broken people into the arms of a loving God. And that's where Alpha fits. I'm still very linked with Alpha. And it's wanting to awaken Christ followers to the people who are around us who don't know Jesus, people in our family, people in our workplace, our colleagues, our friends. Who is it that God has placed around us? No coincidence where we are, that he wants us to reach out for. And Susie, if I may, just link it back to that story of when Rebecca passed. She was in the lake. She was crying out for help. There were at least four people who saw her because she was waving for help, and they rang 911 to call the police to help. But here's the point. If they'd thought a little more, and we don't hold anything against them. We know it was Rebecca's time. But we do believe God's speaking through this. If they'd thought a little more, just 30, 60 seconds away were these kayaks, and they could have gone out and they could have rescued her. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, who has God put near us who's sinking for eternity? Yes, we should pray. That's very important. But we can do more. We can do what Jesus did. He came from the glory of heaven. He put himself out. He lived amongst us. He was with sinners. He reached out to them, and he rescued them through the cross. And that's what our calling is now while we're here on this little bit of time, because Scripture says our time here is like a breath. Relative to eternity, it's a breath. It's very, very short, even though it seems intense. This is our race. We've got the baton in our time. This is our opportunity to live 100% for Jesus. And that's what we want people to awaken to, this calling on our lives.
Well, I pray God's absolute richest blessings on you, and that he would use you both in ways that are above and beyond your wildest dreams. And I'm wondering, how do you carry out this ministry? Do people come to you? I'm picturing you guys doing these retreats for people with soul wounds who need healing. I'm picturing you guys going out and speaking, but I actually don't really know exactly how this plays out. How do you do this? Do you go out and speak, or do you have events that people come to?
It's all of that. It's all of that. Any which way we want to communicate, we know the message that God's put in our hands, and now we want to try and get it out in the most effective way possible. Radio, social media, TV, speaking events. I spoke at the Portland Good Friday breakfast not so long ago, and maybe a film in time. We don't know. We're just saying, Lord, this we're yours. You use us for your glory now and to get this message out. And so the people can go onto our website, awakeningtogod.org. There's ways you can write, to email us there, connect with us through the website. And we're open, if we can do conferences and we're free, we'll do that. But also we're putting on their video casts, unpacking this whole thing of eternity, unpacking love and suffering, unpacking love and the triumph of marriage, sharing in more depth the story through these video messages that we'll start to put on our website.
Well, this has been so amazing. And we just have a moment before we pray. But Jeannie, question for you. How do you pray for this nation?
My suffering and my sorrow has changed my soul. My weary and grieving soul, I travail, I groan. I hardly speak anymore, Susie. Mm-hmm. It's a deep, deep, that God put in from my grieving, that I see now because of the encounter, that it is a deep, deep prayer I have, a longing for our heavenly bridegroom to come, for his perfect bride, as we have naturally when we are brides. And I hardly pray. When I pray, it's uttering words that I cannot even speak, but the heart is for us all to come to a place where if we don't know Jesus, we will, or if we do know Jesus, however that works, he puts us right. This is how I pray in these days. It was never like that before. Mm-hmm. It's very deep, travailing prayer for mm-hmm. the nation.
Well, we just have a moment, so if it's okay with you, I'm going to pray for you, for you both. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you for Gerard and Jeannie, your dear, precious, precious children. And thank you for speaking through them. I pray you continue to heal them in ways they never even thought possible. I pray you'd use them in ways they never dreamed possible. We ask, God, for your mercy on this nation. We ask you, God, to remember us, to awaken us, to forgive us, to use us. Mm. We pray, God, that you'd heal the wayward, bring them back, bring prodigals home, heal brokenhearted parents, God. And may your kindness lead many to repentance, Father. We love you, we love you, we love you. We say thank you, we lift you up. And I just thank you for these dear, dear, precious friends. I pray, God, your richest blessings on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, until our paths cross again, I just can't thank you enough for your time. I just really honor you both. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Susie.
So good to be with you. Title of Gerard's book, again, is Awakening to God.
Boldly I approach your throne. Blameless now I'm running home. By your blood I come, welcomed as your own, into the arms of majesty. Behold the bright and risen sun. Than this world has known. I'm face to face with love himself. His perfect spotless righteousness.
Nothing, absolutely nothing, matters more than our oneness with God. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. You've been listening to Live the Promise. In a little bit, you can find a podcast of today's program on our website, myfaithradio.com. Walk intimately with God. Be much with God. Do the next thing he asked you to do. Bless your day, and we'll meet you back here next time.